What do you want to be when you grow up? What was that?
A monster.
Wow. You know what? You're halfway there sometimes. Just kidding. You're wonderful. What do you want to be when you grow up? A cop. Nice. You know, that's the third child today to respond that they want to be a police officer. Yeah, it's great. Spirit of service. Now, I think all of us were asked that at one point in our lives. We were asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And our answers probably changed from day to day, week to week. But chances are, today, we're not doing that exact thing that as a kid we wanted to do. And the problem there is that I think sometimes we gave up on dreams. And so we stopped dreaming. Because we had this dream for ourselves. This is what I'm going to be someday. And then this is what ended up being the reality. And even though the reality might be more beautiful than my dreams were, the problem is that we think we're done. But what you do as your profession is not all that you were supposed to become. No matter how great your profession is, you are meant to dream bigger. Because you were created for more. That's the great truth of today, is that the answer that every single one of us, whether we're little kids or whether we're nearing the finish line of our lives, the answer that every one of us should give to that answer of what do you want to be when you grow up is, I want to be a saint. I don't want to settle for anything less. I don't want to go through this life and not claim that great victory at the end of it, of eternal communion with God. Every single one of us has been, as the first reading made clear, marked with the seal. You know what the seal is? It's the sign of the cross. And that actually was already prefigured in the Old Testament. The word for mark or seal in Hebrew is tau, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it looks like a cross. And so the church has, over the centuries in her rites, mimicked that. In baptism, you were signed with a cross by parents and godparents. Then in confirmation, this was renewed. And then at the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. So all throughout our lives, we're signed with the cross. And what does that cross proclaim? That you've been claimed already as belonging to Christ. And belonging to Christ means something. It means that, as St. John reminded us in the second reading, that we may be called the children of God, yet so we are. And children of God not only recognize their deep identity and infinite worth, but they also recognize their high calling and their eternal destiny to be with God forever. Now, all of that is great, but how do I get there? How do I live as a child of God? How do I, in every single decision, the big ones or the small ones, choose heaven? If only somebody gave us a roadmap, wouldn't that be great? Well, he has. In fact, in an outdoor sermon 2,000 years ago that we call the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus did give us a roadmap. Right in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, he tells us this is what being holy looks like. This is what choosing heaven day in and day out looks like. And so he proclaimed to us the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the clean of heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness." And we can take this list and every day this week begin our days by reading through it and saying, "God, help me to be this way, because I don't know if I have been up to this point." To sit with these Beatitudes and say, what does it look like for me to be poor in spirit? Does it mean that I'm maybe not grasping after the things of this world? Maybe that I don't see my treasure in the opinion of others or in the stuff that I can accumulate, but that I'm poor enough in spirit to be rich in the things of God, to grasp and reach for the one thing that's important, communion with him. We can ask ourselves in the morning, do we mourn? I mean, obviously we mourn the loss of loved ones, but do we mourn that more definitive death that is sin? Do I mourn my sin, or do I just kind of, have I made peace with it? Am I meek? Because it says that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. The new heavens and the new earth that God's promised, that's given to the meek. So we can say, God, help me to be meek. Help me to not always have to win every argument, to have the last word all the time, to sacrifice another person's feelings for the sake of my sense of accomplishment. Lord, help me to have true meekness. We can ask him, help me to hunger and thirst for righteousness. For you said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. May it be a desire that kind of takes over me. Just like when we're incredibly hungry or thirsty, we can think of nothing else. That's the level of desire for holiness God wants us to have. We can ask him for that grace to be merciful, to not view all of our relationships as either I win or they win, but to say, you know what, I'm gonna quit fighting with this person and I'm gonna have true mercy. To be clean of heart. Do I have habits in my life that are making me impure? And do I fight those habits, or have I just kind of made peace with them? Do I have this pure heart with which to see my God and to see my brothers and sisters not as objects to be used, but as persons to be loved? Am I a peacemaker? Am I a peacemaker, or do I sow discord wherever I go? Do I just try and add to the gossip mill, or do I try to reconcile parties that maybe have hated each other for a while? And so, my challenge to you all, I'm challenging myself to do the same, is to read through the Beatitudes every single day this week. In the morning, to ask for the grace to be this way, and then in the evening, to make this the litmus test, the little examination of conscience at the end of the day to say, was I this way? Because this is the roadmap our Lord's given us. For us to claim our identity as his children and our destiny as saints in heaven.